Tuesday, May 13th, Feast of St. Robert Bellarmine. A lesson from Wisdom, chapter 7, verses 7 through 14. I wished, and understanding was given me, and I called, and the spirit of wisdom came upon me, and I preferred her before kingdoms and thrones, and esteemed riches nothing in comparison of her. Neither did I compare unto her any precious stone, for all gold in comparison of her is as a little sand, and silver in respect to her shall be counted as clay. I loved her above health and beauty, and chose to have her instead of light, for her light cannot be put out. Now all good things came to me together with her, and innumerable riches through her hands. And I rejoiced in them all, for this wisdom went before me, and I knew not that she was the mother of them all, which I have learned without guile, and communicate without envy, and her riches I hide not. For she is an infinite treasure to men, which they that use become the friends of God, being commended for the gifts of discipline. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 19. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt lose its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing any more but to be cast out and to be trodden on by men. You are the light of the world. A city seated on a mountain cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but upon a candlestick, that it may shine to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not pass of the law till all be fulfilled. He therefore that shall break one of these least commandments, and shall so teach men, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But he that shall do and teach, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. Christ passes from the Beatitudes to salt, because he delivers his moral teaching after the manner of the ancients, by short, separate maxims, and because the connection here may be easily traced. You, O apostles, whom I choose to be after my example, humble, meek, etc., shall, in so being, be the salt of the world. You may ask, why does Christ call his apostles the salt of the earth rather than the gold or silver or precious stones? I answer, because salt is a thing universally necessary and useful. Salt is, as it were, the balsam of nature, which preserves and seasons almost all things with which it is mixed, and keeps them from corruption. Salt denotes the office, power, and dignity of the apostles, for salt is the symbol of wisdom. As salt seasons food and makes it savory, so does wisdom season the mind and make it wise. Thus in Latin, a foolish man is called a man without salt, insulsus, according to the verse of Catullus, not one grain of salt in so big a body. The apostles therefore were salt because they corrected the unsavory morals of the world and made them wise and savory. Salt, says Pliny, contains two elements, of an igneous and watery nature, igneous because it is sharp, like fire, and if it be cast into fire it makes it flare up, and if salt be cast into water it is dissolved in it. Pliny also adds that there is nothing more beneficial to the body than salt. The apostles therefore were the salt of the earth because by their igneous force they kindled it with the love of God, and by their aqueous flow of words and their wisdom they watered its dryness as with a spiritual dew and made it fruitful, that it should bring forth the fruit of good works and all virtues. Salt flavors insipid food, and by its pungency renders it pleasant and wholesome. Thus the apostles have amended the insipid and foolish opinions, mistakes, and customs of men by their forcible language, and made them pleasing to God and the angels. As salt penetrates flesh and preserves it from corruption by drying up the humors by which flesh is corrupted, so have the apostles taken away from the minds of men the corruption of fleshly concupiscences, and preserved them for the immortality of everlasting incorruption. Salt excites thirst, so the apostles have excited a thirst for heavenly things. St. Hilary says, The apostles are the preachers of heavenly things, and, as it were, sowers of eternity. They bring immortality to all upon whom their speech is sprinkled. Euthymius says, They have been chosen by Christ to cure all the putridity of the world. St. Gregory says, If we are salt, we ought to season the minds of the faithful. As is among the brute beasts a rock of salt, so ought to be a priest among the people, that whosoever is joined to a priest he may be seasoned, as if from a rock of salt, with the seasoning of eternal life. St. John Chrysostom says, Do you wish to know if the people of any place are righteous? Look what sort of pastor they have. If you find him pious, just, sound, believe the people will be the same, for they are seasoned with the salt of his wisdom. But if the salt lost its savor, that is, if an apostle, a bishop, or a priest, who ought like salt to season the moral of others, shall through gluttony, uncleanness, fear, or flattery lose the vigor of his spiritual salt, who shall restore it to him? No one. St. Augustine says, "It is not he who suffers persecution who is trodden underfoot of men, but he who is so foolish as to fear persecution. For only an inferior can be trodden down, but an inferior he cannot be whose heart is fixed in heaven, although his body may suffer many things upon earth." Let all ecclesiastics remember that they ought to be salt and preserve their vigor, gravity, and liberty in rebuking vices. You are the light of the world. By the light of your doctrine and evangelical life, you will illuminate the world obscured by the darkness of errors and sins. St. John Chrysostom says, "For this purpose hath he chosen us, that we should be as lights and act as leaven, that as angels we should be conversant with men on earth, that we should act as men with boys, as spiritual with those who are carnal." The sun is in heaven, but from thence it disperses its rays upon the earth. So do thou be with thy mind in heaven whilst thy body is on earth, that thou mayest by thy conversation and the example of thy virtue illuminate, warm, and kindle it. So shalt thou be a light and a sun to the world. St. John Chrysostom says, "Assuredly, there would be no heathen if we Christians took care to be what we ought to be, if we obeyed God's precepts, if we bore injuries without retaliation, if, when cursed, we blessed, if we rendered good for evil. For no man is so savage a wild beast that he would not run forthwith to the worship of the true religion if he saw all Christians acting as I have said. And that you may learn that it is so, consider how many one Paul drew to the knowledge of God. If we were all like him, how many worlds might we not be able to win?" Christ also compares his apostles to a city conspicuous on a mountain. As a city upon a mountain cannot be hid, but strikes the eye of all beholders, so do apostles, prelates, and priests come before the eyes of all men, that if they discharge their office rightly and preach the gospel more by their lives than by their words, they will attract many to Christ and have praise of all. But if they do otherwise, they will turn many away from the Savior and be blamed by all. A candle is not wont to be hid under a bushel, but it is placed high on a candlestick. So be ye, O ye apostles, who are placed on a higher step of office and dignity, that ye may enlighten all by your preaching and sanctity. Saints Hilary, Ambrose, and Bede say that it is here meant that the light of the gospel was not meant to be shut up within the narrow confines of Judea, but to be placed upon the height of Rome, that it may illuminate all the subject nations. Christ says of St. John the Baptist that he was a burning and shining lamp, and Enoch and Elijah are called two olive trees and two candelabra. St. Gregory says, "Why then is it commanded that our work shall be so done as not to be seen, and yet that it shall be seen, but that what we do must be hidden, so that we ourselves be not praised, and yet must be made manifest, that we may increase the glory of our Heavenly Father? Whether our work should be seen or not seen must be according to the end we have in view, the praise of men or the glory of God. Think that I am not come to destroy the law and the prophets." Christ's meaning in this place is that he came to fulfill the moral precepts of the law by teaching and expounding them more perfectly, and by substituting the sanction of eternal for temporal rewards and punishments, and by adding to things of precept evangelical counsels of perfection. It is also meant that Christ supplied the imperfection of the law of Moses by justifying us through faith in the sacraments of the new law, which he instituted, which the law of Moses could not do. Before the end of the world, when heaven and earth shall pass away, that is, shall be renewed, it is necessary that all things which are written of me in the law be fulfilled. The sentence is a hypothetical one, and means, sooner may heaven be destroyed, sooner the earth be riven in twain, sooner the universe come to an end, than the minutest point of the law not be fulfilled, either in this life or in the life to come. So long, therefore, as heaven and earth shall stand, so long the whole law shall stand. He who shall break one such commandment, although the least in the Decalogue, shall surely be condemned. For it is entirely probable that certain trifling things in the old law, although they were commanded by God himself, bind only under venial sin and temporal punishment. Not such as these are here called least commandments, but those which are least among the great commandments, such as to look upon a woman to lust after her, which the Pharisees considered a very small thing and scarcely a sin at all, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That is, shall be accounted the least, shall be looked upon as vile, shall be had in contempt by God and the holy angels as the last of men, and altogether unworthy to be admitted into the kingdom of heaven, but to be damned and cast into hell. Learn from hence the right way and method of teaching, that a doctor should first do what he is about to teach. Christ, says St. Luke, began to do and to teach. He was first himself poor, humble, meek, a mourner, and then he taught, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Let a teacher therefore examine his conscience before God before he teach, whether he be poor in spirit, meek, and so on. Let him see whether he cleave to the world or to Christ. For that he may be Christ's, he ought to break his pledge of friendship with the world, and be able to say with St. Paul, If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.